The gospel is so simple. Put your faith in Christ and Christ alone. That's the gospel. Yet, so many people never get there. So many people never humbly bend their knee to Jesus. So many are still hoping that they are good enough, that their good outweighed their bad. Still hoping in themselves and not hoping in the gospel. There is nothing that I can say or do to help you see this. You must respond in your own heart to the gospel. You must respond when the Holy Spirit opens your eyes to see Jesus as a beautiful Savior. So, up on the screen, you know your faith is in Christ when you don't have a backup plan for salvation. You're not still, well, Jesus plus, just in case. You know your faith is in Christ when you don't have a backup plan to say, if Jesus isn't enough to save me, I don't have hope in anything else. Well, I tried. Don't say that. Well, I went to church. Well, I was a good mom, a good father, a good husband. None of that matters squat on the last day. What matters is, was Christ your Savior? Like, I can't even get through the introduction without pleading with you guys to take the gospel serious. No games, no fluff, just reality. Well, go ahead and open your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 is where we're going to be today. I want to say this before we get going, that reading and rereading your Bible is not like watching a movie a second time through. It's not like that. Reading and rereading your Bible is like a relationship that you get to know more, somebody more, the more time you spend with them. That's what reading and rereading your Bible is like. Wives, when you were dating your husband, did you ever eye roll that he was going to take you on a second date? You better not have. Like, we just ate together last week. No, because it's a relationship. And the same is true with spending time in God's Word. Don't eye roll that we've already read Mark once. I don't know how many times I have been through the life of Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they all tell the same thing. But being honest, this time through for me is the best. You just marvel at this God-man, Jesus Christ. It's not merely knowledge of facts and events. Like, I probably couldn't even list all the 12 apostles because it doesn't really matter. They're not the main character. But what it is marveling at the King of Kings. So far in chapter 1 of Mark, we have seen John the Baptist give testimony that this is the Christ. I'm not even worthy to stoop down and touch his sandals. We have seen the Holy Spirit give testimony, descending from heaven visibly on him. We have seen the Father's voice speak from heaven, give testimony, this is my Son. We've even heard the demons scream out, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But can Jesus back it up? Can he evidence and prove all the testimony about him, all the hype? Can it be backed up? Can he demonstrate he is the Messiah? Mark chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 29. We'll go through 34. This is where we pick up the story. After Jesus left the synagogue with James and John. Do you remember that morning he cast out a demon in church? He didn't get no afternoon nap like we get. After Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law, that's Peter, was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away. So he went to her bedside, took her by the hand, helped her sit up, then the fever left her. And she prepared a meal for them. That evening, after sunset, many sick
and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. Up on the screen, Jesus displayed his dominion even over the physical realm. This is who he is. He's not just saying, well, I can cast out evil spirits, but when you have a physical sickness, he said, I am authoritative over that. Diseases. He heals Peter's mother-in-law, and she's completely and instantly restored. Enough to get up and to make them a meal. Now, this is before frozen pizzas. You want chicken? Let me go kill it first. They didn't have that. She was completely brought to health. The whole town brought out their sick and diseased and demon-possessed. And Luke, if you read Luke's account, he says he healed them all. Every one of them. We should marvel at that. We're going to talk more on healing in a bit and why Jesus healed people. But Mark forces us to something more important than healing. Because he's telling us about this healing, and there's going to be more to come in the next few verses, but he stops and he interrupts his healing story to talk about something even more important. Mark chapter 1, 35 through 39. Here we go. Before daybreak, the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Obviously, Jesus is an introvert. That's a kidding. That's a joke. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him, and when they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." But Jesus replied, "We must go on to the other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came." So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. He says, "We must go preach," in verse 38. "That's why I came." The disciples were like excited about the wrong thing. The disciples were like, "Jesus, everyone is looking for you. We did it. We drew the crowd. You got popular. You're famous. It's working." And Jesus' response is, "It's time to go." What? "It's time to leave." What? "I must go preach the gospel in other towns." So up on the screen, more important than the healings was the message. More important than being healed was that you hear the message. He said, "That is why I came." Jesus did not come to perform magic, tricks. He didn't come to levitate so we would woo and awe. He came calling sinners to repent and turn to God. God only had one son, and he made him a preacher. He didn't want a crowd. He constantly told people that he healed, "Don't tell anybody." But he wanted them to hear the gospel. Look at this, Mark 1, 40 through 45. We're going to finish this out. You're going to see it. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean," he said. 41. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out, touched him, and said, "I am willing, be healed." Now pause there. Leviticus chapter 5, anybody who touched a leper was defiled, cast out of the community, because leprosy was a crazy skin disease that would take people out. But Jesus can't be defiled by anybody. He reached out, touches the man. Jesus wasn't defiled. The man was healed. Let's keep going. 42, instantly the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. This has never happened before. Then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. Now, side note, in the original, that word "stern warning" is Jesus snorted. I'll spare you the sound in the mic. But it was intense, stern. "I'm serious. Don't tell anybody." This is what he says, verse 44. "Don't tell anyone about this. Instead,
Go to the priest. Let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. He gave a stern warning to this leper. Go show yourself to the priest so that the priest would have to face the reality that the Messiah had come. Nobody's ever been healed of leprosy before. Religious people were some of the most opposed to the true Jesus. It's shocking. You just read about it all in your Bibles, all in the book of Acts. Look at what this guy did in verse 45. He had two orders. Don't tell anybody and go to the priest. He failed on both. Look at verse 45. But the man went and spread the word. Proclaiming to everyone what had happened. He didn't go to the priest. He didn't keep silent. As a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He's kind of messing up his mission. He had to stay out in the secluded places, but people from everywhere kept coming to him. So let's talk about healings. Up on the screen, the purpose of healings and miracles has always been to validate the message. That's it. Why did Jesus do miracles? Why did he do signs? It wasn't to woo you. It wasn't for you to be entertained. It was so that you would listen to his message. To validate his message. Today, we don't need any proof. We just need to measure someone's message according to God's word. False teachers, false faith healers take advantage of people's sicknesses and disease. They're everywhere. They say, send me your money and you will be healed. It's all baloney. False teachers add to the word of God, and false teachers take away from the word of God. False teachers add requirements that the word does not add, and they take away from the grace of God by saying that Jesus isn't enough and you must do more. I came across this verse this week, and I just want to read it to you. This is just Bible. 1 Timothy 4. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. I'm just going to read Bible. They will say it is wrong to be married. It is wrong to eat certain foods. But God created those foods to be eaten with thanks by faithful people who know the truth. If you are serious about knowing Jesus personally, you will immerse yourself in his word. If you are serious about taking God personally, you will soak in his word. Healings. So many people in Scripture were healed physically, but not healed spiritually. It's crazy. This guy didn't even obey Jesus. Jesus healed this leper, and he didn't even follow the two commands he gave him with a snort. Luke chapter 17, there's another example. Jesus heals 10 lepers, 10 of them, and only one of them came back, it says, to give glory to God. He healed many people who did not show him respect. They did not bow to him and worship. They did not call him Lord. It was merely the Lord's compassion on him so they would listen as he preached. Listen and prove that he was a savior. John chapter 3, verse 2, Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. And you know what he says? We miss this part because we get all lost in the born again. What do you mean enter the mother's womb? But he says this, Nicodemus goes, we know that you were sent from God because you do miracles that are evidence. 2 Corinthians 12:12 tells us the apostles' message was validated by the signs and wonders and the miraculous. That's why they happen. Not to get too technical, but if somebody had the gift of healing today, it wouldn't be on up front in a stage asking for money. They would go to St. Luke's or the hospital or Children's Mercy and do it there. So can God heal today? Absolutely. Is it his normal mode of operation? No. I have the mindset that Daniel and his friends did, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were about to get thrown into the fire, and they said, "We think God can save us. But let it be known, even if he doesn't, I serve him. You get cancer? Oh, I would love to be able to say, be gone." It doesn't happen that way. But let it be known, even if God doesn't heal me, I'm his. So bring it back to the message. Today we have the apostles' message. It has been validated. Today we have the gospel. We have Christ's messages, and there is no more need for validation and authentication. And to make this personal, we are like this leper. We were all spiritual lepers in need of a Savior, cut off from God, and only Jesus had the authority to reach out and touch us and heal us. We were outcast spiritually. We couldn't fix our own spiritual disease, but Christ came into our lives with compassion to give his life in exchange for ours. Do you know Jesus this way? Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for the life of Christ, that we don't even have to guess who he is, that you wrote it all down for us. Your word is rock solid. I pray that we would shape our view of you only from your word, not from what I say. And I pray that Christ would be honored in this church more than anything. We ask these things because of what he's already done in our place on a cross. Amen.